there, how are you doing? This is Ling with you here on Planet of Sound. Very, very busy weekend with a lot of concerts going on, commencement ceremonies, and hey, I even had time to put out a podcast. You'll notice that episode 17 is a little bit longer than normal, and the reason is because I had an interview with some very dynamic artists, and it was just really hard to get the interview down to an hour. So what you're hearing on today's podcast is the extended conversation and music that I didn't get to really play on the air because my show on Saturdays is only actually about 54 minutes long, including the news and the IDs and everything else. So you're getting the complete interview, all the really good stuff, with all the technical glitches and everything here on the podcast. My name is Ling, and this is Planet of Sound. So the Thievery Corporation and Lulu kick off episode 17. Thanks so much for joining me here on the World Wide Web, and enjoy the interview with Miss Willow Chang and Anasma, two of the very talented people who are in the Puja Festival going on until June 14th. Most of the music that you're hearing was chosen by Willow or Anasma. They have great taste, and so do you, because you're tuning in to Planet of Sound. You're tuned to Playlist International on listener-supported Hawaii Public Radio. This is an instrumental featuring the music of Egyptian superstar Umka Thum, and it's a great track to come out of as I welcome my special guest to KIPO today. Joining me here in CR7 is multi-talented Miss Willow Chang, well-recognized on the local art scene. She's also performed internationally, and I think you know her for her beautiful artistry as a performance artist, singer, designer. And today, she's wearing the hat of producer, as she and Passport Productions present the second annual Puja Festival. Welcome, Willow. And who did you bring along with you?
Welcome. I brought a very wonderful and talented dance artist named Anasma. Very delighted to have her here in Hawaii. We met about 3 years ago at Rakasa and also a video shoot for Hollywood Music, which distributes Arabic music and instructional performance DVDs of Oriental dance, also known as belly dance. We share a lot in common, and I'm always humbled by her amazing grace and her commitment to her art. And I said, you have to come to Hawaii and be a part of the Puja Festival. And here she is.
Yay!
Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you enjoying Hawaii so far?
I love it. I'm in love with Hawaii.
Glad to hear that, and I know it's been a very busy time for you guys, as the Puja Festival is ongoing, and I appreciate your making time to visit with us here in the studio. So Willow, as the main mover and shaker behind Puja, how did you come up with the idea?
You know, there's a lot of things that have contributed to the inspiration of Puja. The name Puja is a Sanskrit word, and it's rooted in the tradition of an offering or a blessing. And there's a unique history where the arts were always offered as such, something with reverence and benevolence and spiritual pursuit. And it's more of a recent divorcing of the spiritual intention and entertainment. So I'm kind of enamored with this idea because I really believe that artists, when they're committed to their craft, whatever that is, whether you're writing poems or you're painting or you're sewing clothes or dancing or teaching, enabled to get the most out of that experience, it's an offering. There's a process of humbling yourself to the learning process, to humble yourself before your gurus and your teachers, to honor those who have come before you, who have paved the way and they've passed on traditions. And then the final point of that is hopefully synthesizing all of those experiences and finding a way to honor the art within yourself that's genuine and to find ways to build community and to share. So a puja, which is an offering, is also a gift. And when you perform with the intention of it being a gift, it has a very, very different outcome. And I've always thought, why can't we have something that would celebrate the arts, that would bring a lot of different people together from different walks of life where we can explore both the similarities and the differences and celebrate them? And so that was kind of the idea for the Puja concert and the festival, which includes the learning aspect, because there's something more to just being entertained. You can actually take something from it and learn about other cultures. And everyone who's involved in the show has really devoted so much of their life to that pursuit.
You know, I'm very impressed after reading the lineup of the talented people you have access to this year. And as I understand it, the Puja Festival has already been going on for about a week.
May 27th is when we had, it's kind of like a soft opening. So we affectionately titled them the pre-Puja events and then the post-Puja events. They all involve this concept of a blessing, but you realize that it can get a little confusing. So the events from May 27th through the 3rd include workshops with two of four of our visiting artists. And so that would be Anasma, who's originally from France, and then Maysoon, who's from Zurich, Switzerland. And they gave instruction in like hip-hop belly dance and Bollywood and anatomy of step combinations and some really dynamic subjects that aren't necessarily taught here in Hawaii. So we like this idea of bringing in guest artists who can teach in areas that they have expertise.
And Anasma, I have to admit I was a bit bemused when I heard about your workshop. So could you go ahead and tell us what you're teaching at Puja?
A hip-hop belly dance fusion. It was born in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
because New York is the place of birth of hip hop. It's something very contemporary and urban, and I feel by being half Vietnamese and half Tunisian, having grown up in France, and now I live in New York, I've always been attracted to fusions, and I wanted to bring together my tradition and my roots, my origins, with what I live and my, you know, culture of today and the music that inspires the youth. And so it has been a very exciting mix to create and to develop.
Could you talk a little bit more about Belly Queen? You touched on that really slightly.
Yes. Belly Queen has been founded in 1998 by Keishi Chai and Amar Gamal. And there was also a third dancer, Jenna. And the company has been growing and has very high standards of, you know, very, very good quality, synchronicity. The dancers meet and rehearse. Sometimes we don't have a specific date, but we're focused on the process. So we keep practicing together and getting to know each other. So it has become like, you know, a sisterhood or a family, because we get to really support each other and know each other through the dance, but also in our everyday life. And it's been a wonderful experience. I moved to New York to join Belly Queen and to become a professional dancer, to really immerse myself into my deepest passion.
Do you tour? Does Belly Queen tour?
Yes. We've been on four tours as a big company. The founders have been touring also on their own before that within other groups. But as the big group for Belly Queen, we did two US tours, actually three, one European tour, and I miscounted. There was a Japanese tour recently this year, so it's really exciting. Yeah.
It's another reason we're so lucky to have her, because the scheduling is just, it's crazy. I've had the pleasure of working with and even taking classes from Anasma's colleagues, with Amar Gamal and Keishi Chai, and they're wonderful. And I've extended the invitation to them, but Anasma beat them to the punch. So their loss and our gain.
Okay. And what else was there for the soft opening?
We've also had a global cafe, which is a world beat music showcase with tango and samba and belly dancing. And we're hoping that will become a monthly thing the last Saturday at Living Room. Shameless plug. And then there's the Puja concert, which is kind of like the setting which the ring is surrounded by. And so that's on the 6th and the 7th, today and tomorrow. And that's a theatrical concert in a proscenium setting. Because so many of us perform in ethnic festivals and cultural fairs and fundraising efforts in people's living rooms and baby showers, and we have found ways to retain the original intent of our craft. But it allows us to present our art in a different way, to have it in a theatrical setting with a sit-down theater. And for some people, unfortunately, that's what it takes for them to realize that it is an art form, whether that's belly dancing or breakdance or yoga. It gives them a chance to really view it through a different set of lenses. And then after the concert, from the 8th through the 14th, we're going to have a whole series of workshops that you can study with the talent right in the Puja concert. And I would say about 85% of our talent are people based here in Hawaii. So it's a great opportunity to create dialogue and to excite people and inspire them to try something they haven't done before, whether it's a samba class or a yoga class or Pilates. I think sometimes in Hawaii people are so shy about making a commitment, because they honor the work that it takes to be involved in something like, whether it's hula or soccer, paddling. And as a result, that reverence translates into people not trying things because they're too afraid that they might upset the teacher if they don't come back to class, or maybe they take the class and they don't like it, so they don't want to even try it to find out. We want to eliminate that discomfort and let people know it's okay. It's like a buffet. You've got to try it to see if you like it.
You know, I gotta admit, I'm not as adventurous with dance as I am listening to world music, and it takes some prodding to get me out to that buffet line if it requires dancing shoes. But you guys are making it a lot more attractive now. This is Playlist International, and I'm talking with Willow Chang and Anasma about the ongoing Puja Festival. They've been talking about what they do as dancers, but they also came prepared with tons of CDs to share. So, Miss Willow, tell us what's coming up on the radio.
I'm trying to remember what I gave to you first.
I have Paul Simon.
Oh, yes, you know what?
Daniel
Lanois. These are things that these are artists who really have influenced me on different levels because I'm also a singer. And I feel that as a singer, it's so important to pay attention to the storytelling aspect. So in dance, you have an opportunity to be narrative just like you do with singing. And there's many ways to convey the story. But clearly the words or the lyrics are so essential to that. And I grew up listening to Simon and Garfunkel and raiding my dad's record collection and listening to his records. Have been a lifelong fan of his work, everything from Graceland to Rhythm of the Saints, You're the One, songs from the Cape Man. I mean, he's an amazing lyricist, and he's always found ways to incorporate sounds and flavors from different cultures, but it never felt like, in my opinion, it never felt disrespectful or he was ripping it off. He truly integrates different flavors from different parts, kind of like David Byrne. There's a few artists who are very good at this, and he makes them into something completely unique. And I've always appreciated he has a very gentle quality about his singing. So it's almost like he's telling you a story right into your ear. It's not aggressive. And I mean, there are a whole bunch of Paul Simon songs that if I hear them, I get a lump in my throat. I'm so wired when I hear his music. So a song that I brought today, it's called You're the One. And it's a song that I actually performed to last year at the Gandhi Festival that Raj Kumar had put together. And I wanted something that was reflective and that created a feeling or a sense of place. And it sings about this, you know, this tiny little man. And I got to dance right in front of the Gandhi statue. And, you know, he's very slight, he's very delicate, but his spirit was so strong. And I just love the feeling that this song creates. So here it is.
May 12 angels guard you while you sleep. Maybe that's a waste of angels, I don't know. I'd do anything to keep you safe from the danger that surrounds us. Little by little, bit by bit, little bit by little bit, now you got it, that's it. What are you thinking? Things will go sour, take its temperature every hour, nervous when you own it, nervous when it's gone. What do you think has been going on for so long? My heart, you made me cry.
from the other side, it's a completely different song. And I'm the one who made you cry, and I'm the one who's wrong. And in my dream, you spoke to me, and you
come on.
Welcome back to Playlist International. If you've just joined us here on FM 89, my special guests are Willow Chang. She's the main mover and shaker of the Puja Festival going on through June 14. And also in the studio is Anasma. She's a wonderful performance artist based in New York City. And our last set of songs came via Miss Willow's library. And we started off with Paul Simon, followed by track 5 from Lasso's album, The Living Road. And we then heard Love Child by Daniel Lanois. Thanks, Willow, for that eclectic set of songs. And I can tell already from that pile of CDs you've brought in that I would have a ball delving through the music in your collection. Never would have figured you for a Paul Simon fan.
Yes, and lest you think I only like slow music, I do like upbeat music as well, but slow, reflective music holds certain value to me because I feel like that life is very, very fast, and we are rushed so frequently, and there's so many demands that are put on us, whether it's checking your email or there's a lot of stimulus. So there's a luxury in being able to do something slowly, whether it's moving slowly or taking a bath or, you know, slow foods, movement, that helps create balance. And it's so important to appreciate those things. And I think a lot of times artists are a little concerned because everything is fast-paced, that if they sing or they dance to something that's slow, they're afraid they're going to bore the audience. But I really believe if you are not bored, then I don't think other people will be bored either. So I hope you're not bored.
Definitely not boring here in the studio with Miss Willow and Anasma. Wonderful conversation going on while the music was playing, and Willow made a wonderful analogy of music being a canvas for dancers. Anasma, how about you? What's your dance philosophy?
I feel that dance is a wonderful way to share what I have with the world. And as a teacher, I would say the same. I want to enable people to have tools to be happy to live and to express this with the way they want to move with their own body, and developing body awareness allows to create another language that's possible. And we don't have to use words, or we don't have to use our voice, but sometimes just our inhale and exhale and a look on our eyes is enough.
I agree. I would say that Anasma really embodies something, and forgive my Sanskrit, but in classical Indian dance, they value the dancer's ability to show rasa, so like emotion or feeling, and they kind of gauge a dancer's ability on how effective is she or he in making the audience feel something. And when you watch Anasma, she's so committed. It's like she's undiluted, and the quality of her breathing changes and her emotion changes, and it's amazing to watch someone who's that committed. And when you see that, you have like an emotional osmosis. You as a dancer, and an osmosis is you create this space to allow people to feel. And the history of dancers throughout many cultures is that they would hold shamanistic roles in society, or they were conduits between the sacred world and the secular world, and they were very revered and at times feared because of this power and this ability. But when you go into performance and you realize that you have this responsibility and this gift that you can help people feel things, that's when the art really does become therapeutic. So, you know, it's great as a teacher then, Anasma is helping people and enabling them to be in touch with their feelings and to not be afraid of them, and to in turn allow that healing process to go on with every person that they share that with, whether they teach or they share it with somebody or they perform. And it just, the cycle continues.
And the cycle is continuing with all the workshops and events you've lined up with the Puja Festival. Anasma is here in Hawaii teaching hip-hop belly dance workshops, and Willow, you've done a great job lining up local talent as well as international instructors. And you guys have classes going on before and after the concert you're calling God and Monsters. And as I was scanning the press release, I was happy to recognize Wayland and Desiree, as Playlist International listeners may remember them as well, because they were here a few months back with the rest of the Mahalo Halo Koling Tong Ensemble, and they were also sitting here in CR7. So tell us who else is part of the Puja Festival.
I'm really proud of the list, and I'm just going to go through it in an alphabetical way so I don't forget anybody. We have Adela Chu, who is no stranger to the art scene here in Hawaii. She's going to be teaching Afro-Brazilian Jazz 1 and 2. We have Guilherme Alves, who's Hawaii's only Swastika yoga instructor, and he's going to be doing a series of workshops that are very intensive about asanas and different positions and intention with the yoga practice. He is originally from Brazil. We have Naomi Brown, who will be teaching various classes, including self-defense and Tai Chi, so another way to express the body and also create and develop a body awareness. We have George Garcia, who's known by many as the tango master and guru. He'll be teaching Buenos Aires style tango levels 101 and 201. So if you've never done it before and you don't need to bring a partner, you just come as you are and they rotate and everyone has a chance to dance. And it's very beautiful. We had Michael Hamilton giving community acupuncture earlier in the week, which is a means for people to get treated with the Taoist medicine practice and receive healing without having an exorbitant cost attached to that. Diane Lam is an amazing dancer, and she teaches the Joseph Pilates format, which is the original format of Pilates. And she also had the distinction of actually dancing with Martha Graham in her company. So she'll be teaching a mat Pilates class. And the advantage of a mat class is that you don't have to have the equipment like the Reformer or the Cadillac. These are these apparatus. You just have a mat and you can do these practice, these formations at home to help lengthen the muscles and to develop your core and the strength of the body. So it's really good for maintaining the optimal health of the body. We also have, let's see, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's originally from Argentina. He's born and raised. He's currently touring with Saltimbanco, with Cirque du Soleil, and that's how we met. He taught a chacarera class, and he will do so again here in Hawaii. And chacarera is a folk dance that's performed throughout Argentina with the people of the Pampas. And it's really charming. It's just this very delightful dance, like a line dance of sorts that honors the spirit of the woman and the dynamics between a man and a woman. And it's just a lot of fun. You don't have to have given to Argentina. Let's see, we also have Samba Ashe will be teaching some Brazilian dance and samba. And we also have Kalai Kaina with the Shakti dance movement. She'll be doing tribal fusion belly dance. And then I'll be teaching the veil class and the Bollywood class.
Just a plethora of styles, and there's going to be a lot of great music from all over the world as well. And if we need to get that lineup again, where can we go?
Yes, yes. And this will all be up on the website at willowchang.com. Hopefully, Aaron, hope you're listening. That's my web person. you can always go to myspace.com and just go to Willow Chang. The calendar's there. I actually have the ability to upload that myself. You're welcome to drop me an email at willowchang@hotmail. I have no problem sending the attachment your way. It's not an intrusion at all. The website's there. The web address is there for that reason. And we'll also have the listings included in the program for Puja. So everybody who attends the concert will have it in hand, and you know they can pass it on to a friend or scan it and send it to their friends as an attachment as well. So we want everybody to come. You don't have to have attended the concert to take the classes.
Where are these workshops being held?
We have actually two locations that the workshops are held. That's not to drive you crazy, it's just its availability. So one of them is the Heaven on Earth Studio, and that's located at the corner of King and Eisenberg, right in Mo'ili'ili. About two blocks down, there's the Dance Space, and that's across from Kinko's. It's on the third floor. Both are dance studios and facilities that are locally owned and run by women. Jennifer Shannon owns the Dance Space, and we were actually colleagues at University of Hawaii in the dance department. And a lot of people know the staff and the owners of Heaven on Earth. They've run a very successful spa and wellness business. And they're also women. And not to be sexist, but I think it's very important to invest back into your community with local businesses and with women, and to help build their clientele. And that's something that was also very much part of Puja, is I wanted to find ways to help the people here in our community. It's very important to me.
Mm. Anasma, I still have to go back to the fact that you've got these two styles, belly dance, which is like, how old is belly dancing?
I would say it's timeless, you know?
Yeah.
Ever since the dawn of humankind, I think women have felt compelled to move their bodies in a way that's natural and expressive and what we might consider traditionally feminine. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It would celebrate their, you know, process of giving birth, mm-hmm. and undulations. Mm-hmm. And
just it's a beautiful way to share and to communicate. And I would say it's timeless. I mean, it's gone through certainly lots of evolutions and changes and
influences.
And shifts. Yeah, influences. But there's a core to it that will remain the same, like that nucleus. Even if you're a different practitioner, there still is that, you know, you just know, you just feel it.
That's true.
Basically, though, would belly dancing be Middle East more so, India?
Well, you can ask this question with 10 people and probably get 30 different answers.
Okay.
But
yes.
I would say there's one theory or approach that's commonly accepted, and that is the Roma. So the gypsy people whose origins are from northern Africa, when they went through what's called the ancient spice trade route, so, you know, throughout Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and Egypt and the Levant, you know, Jordan, Syria, going down into northern Africa, Morocco and Egypt. And as far as in Europe, I mean, the gypsies in each place, even though they might be nomadic, eventually kind of find a place that they consider their own, and then they interpret their influences and their culture adapts to where they are. So I don't know. It's kind of like Chinese food. Like if you eat Chinese food in Honolulu, it's going to be probably different than like in Canada, and it might be different than in Hong Kong.
Everywhere
or Taiwan.
You go, it has its own nuance.
Exactly.
Okay. And then hip hop is so young, and it's so, I don't know, it's so in your face sometimes. How do you get something so soft and feminine and incorporate it with something like hip hop?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I actually have two approaches when I do that fusion. I start from the belly dance point and how to make it hip hop. So I would change the weight, the way I stand on my feet, and explore things that we usually don't do in belly dance, which is stand more towards the front of our feet, so over the toes, being more into you, like bam. So it has something a bit more aggressive, a bit more street.
Yeah.
A lot of the classes are going to be 101. So I make sure that people who step in for the first time discover the basics of belly dance and discover some of the basics of hip hop that I introduce in the class. So you can step in and learn at each degree. And even for more advanced dancers, the combination of both is still opening, you know, creativity.
Yeah, it's a new experience, because even if you might be trained in belly dancing, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can make the shift as seamlessly as you might think, because it is a different set of techniques. And that's really, I think, the fun part about it. The hip hop is non-apologetic. No one is trying to be shy, and, you know, it is very direct. And I think that there's something about that that's very empowering. Like, I could see in the class that Nasma had taught previously, like, you see this shift where just the stance that you take and the way that your weight is connected to the floor and the quality and the power of the movements is very empowering to women. So I think the similarity, like the percussive nature of a drum solo and the rhythmic quality of belly dance, translates really well with the hip-hop. The attitude allows you to be theatrical, which can be a great release for people. And then all these like ooey gooey flowy things that Anasma does complements a lot of the vocabulary that you would find in belly dancing. So it only sounds strange, but it actually makes a lot of sense in many ways.
It's kind of like peanut butter and chocolate.
That's right.
Kind of thing, right? Yeah. You wouldn't expect it, but it actually tastes really good.
It's yes. True. Or chocolate covered gummy bear. Or pretzel.
There you go. Never tried one of those, but always open to new experiences. Okay, well, let's take a break from all this talk. And so I'm pretty sure your music collection is just as eclectic as Willow's, but you don't live here in Hawaii, so unfortunately you can't bring it all down. But what are some of the artists that you're listening to?
Well, I have some friends I work with, local artists from New York that compose amazing music. Pete List is one of them. He has composed a couple of pieces for me, actually. I just gave him a theme and a tempo I needed, and he developed wonderful music around that. He works with another artist called Rob Mastriani. And together, their duet is called Beatbox Guitar, and it's absolutely wonderful. Rob has been trained in flamenco, I think some Indian classical music as well, and they mix beatbox, human beatbox, so sounds with the music. With traditional flamenco or electronic sounding flamenco. It's really, really inspiring. Jin is also another group based in New York. So these would be my recommendations. And but otherwise, I love to listen to every type of music. Sometimes I'm in the mood for classical music. And oh my God, I enjoy jazz so much. When I used to live in Harlem, I was there for 2 years and a half. I just went to the Lenox Lounge and would enjoy the jazz classics, A Night in Tunisia.
Yeah.
And yes. And flamenco music, hip hop, everything that's on the radio is, you know, can inspire you.
It can. And I, you know, Jin and these different gentlemen who've performed at festivals, and we've heard their music. Carmine actually was here in Hawaii 2 years ago, and I sponsored him, and he taught drumming classes, and we also co-taught some classes here in Hawaii. So I've seen the same piece of music danced to and interpreted by different dancers, and in that regard, it's different every time. It's never the same dance twice.
Well, because it's going on live, I'm sure that the musicians are also interacting with you as dancers and probably reacting to you in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are in the moment together.
Yes, and that's something that's magical. Actually, some of the most exciting pieces I've had, you know, performed with Jin, was when we both do improvisation. And so sometimes I come up with a structured improv. I'm telling them, okay, tonight, well, I'll be a puppet and the master puppeteer. So just improvise to that. they just do something on the spot, and we just look at each other, and they can feel the different emotions in the dancing, and then they slow down, they go faster, and ooh, I react, and it goes really both ways. So it's really, really amazing.
I second that.
I want some beatbox guitar myself now.
I guess I have it. Can I listen to number 4 in the CD I gave you? It's called The End Again.
لك يا حبيبي ولا خايف حبي ياخدك بحر تغرق في اللي وحدك لا ده انا معك يا حبيبي
ولا اقولك طب وحبك
So this song is a duet between Rola and Saba. And Saba is a very famous Lebanese singer. And it's the equivalent of, I was saying, if Beyonce and Tina Turner did a duet together. And when I first heard it, I actually thought it was a man.
Yeah.
It's a much lower voice, and something Anasma and I were talking about is like even with Uncle Tom, like there's kind of an appreciation for the female voices at a much lower register. Although now you can hear these kind of like squeaky, more bubblegum, stereotypically feminine, higher voices do make it into pop music. But you can hear it's like the singers that were like after Uncle Tom were probably very influenced by her and would probably on a subconscious level maybe try to imitate her. Because even if you listen to like Warda, who's she's an Algerian singer who is based out of Egypt a lot, a very, very popular singer, just awesome. And yes. She has a very low voice as well. So these low voices are very appreciated, although now if you listen to pop music like Shireen or Nancy Ajram, they're like, like little tiny little chihuahua voices. And it's interesting because last time I was in Egypt was in 05, and Nancy Ajram's face is on McDonald's cups and billboards, and she's like a huge pop star. She was like their Britney Spears, so to speak. And I was talking to a vendor because her face is on the Coca-Cola can as well, and he was saying to me, you know, like, oh, these voices, they're just terrible. Like, you know, they don't sound anything like Om Kulthum. And, you know, it's kind of like when people look at celebrities and they say, oh, you know, look at Ingrid Bergman, or, you know, they had faces then. Like, the movie stars were so beautiful, and now we have, like, these very strange plastic kind of celebrities. So I think you see that it's consistent in all cultures. It's not limited to American culture.
Okay, we're going to go back into some more music now. And this was a track chosen by Anasma. If you could tell us what we're going to be listening to.
Yes, this is a track called Sirat al-Hub, sang by Om Kulthum. It means stories of love. And Om Kulthum is the biggest singer of the Arabic world. And she passed away in 1975, but she is still vivid in every memory. She's still in the television. People show their concerts on Tunisian, Egyptian, any Arabic channel. And she's really respected. And a lot of instrumental music that is used now currently by belly dancers is taken from music that has been composed for her. And the biggest most wonderful poets have composed for her, and composers as well. So,
I would have to say that an American counterpart would probably be Ella Fitzgerald. So Ella Fitzgerald set the standard to which everyone is still, male or female, measured to in jazz vocals. And the body of work that Ella Fitzgerald recorded, in turn, has become what we refer to as the American songbook. And Om Kulthum, there's that similar relationship, that reverence for the music, for the artist, that her music has become standards. And for you to be, I think it's fair to use this adjective, to be considered a serious either performer or student or dancer of Arabic dance, Oriental dance, it's essential that you know her music and you're familiar with it. And it is the highest artistic challenge to be able to interpret her music in a way that's appropriate to the song.
Thank you.
وظلم الحب الكل نصر سرت الحب وظلم الحب الكل أصحابه طول عمري بخاف من الحب وسرت الحب وظلم الحب الكل أصحاب وأعرف حكايات مليانة آفاق أعرف حكايات مليانة آفاق ودموع
I'm having a great time learning so much about dance and music from both of you, who are just seasoned pros as travelers and performers around the world. I've had a wonderful time having you guys here in the studio.
Oh, same here.
Thank you for having us.
I've been fortunate where I get to actually see you guys. I mean, you guys are kind of bopping to the music too. I mean, you guys have such strong musicality and it flows through you guys. So I get to see that. But for our listeners who don't have the vantage point I do, if they would like to see you guys, there's an opportunity this weekend.
Absolutely. So we do have a show tonight, Saturday, June 6th, Again, it's at Windward Community College at the Palikku Theater, and the show starts at 7:30. The house opens at 7, and it's general seating, so if you do have a preference, you might want to keep that in mind. We also have a show on Sunday, which is a matinee, and that's going to be at 2 p.m. So if you have a graduation or a baby luau to go to, or you don't like driving at nighttime, then we've got the tutu show. We got the granny show. You can come at 2 o'clock, and you can still go to church. You can still have brunch. You can have dinner after. There's still lots of sunlight. You can still go to the Pan Pacific Parade at the end of the day. So, you know, we do consider these things. As a producer, I really try to keep in mind what events are ongoing. And it just happens to be that this year there's a lot of things happening the same weekend. And we're very lucky in Hawaii to have this abundance of arts. But I would sincerely hope that if you can, please do come to our show. It's very rare to have this many artists of so many different backgrounds of the caliber that they possess all on the same stage and under the same roof. You're hard-pressed to find live folk music and dance from the Philippines segued into breakdance and swastika yoga and hip-hop belly dance and, you know, modern dance and a boleador from Argentina, from temperately Argentina. I mean, it's just, my goodness, real chop suey.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And Anasma, you're part of the mix as well.
Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful program coming up with different topics open to any level of dancing. I really recommend the events coming up.
Thanks, Anasma. And how about if people are in New York? Can they see you somewhere over there?
Yeah, all the events are on my website, anasmadance.com. I also have a couple videos on YouTube that you can check out. Just type Anasma on YouTube. And also DVDs. My performances are featured on the Belly Dance Experience. And then World Dance New York has put out the Fantasy Belly Dance DVD. And another one is coming out. The name has not been released yet, but it will feature the devil dance that is actually presented during the show tonight at Puja.
Both Anasma and I will be revealing many different facets of the gods and monsters theme. So, yeah, it should be fun. I'll be doing my Medusa Ouroboros piece. I have a mystery dance that I've been very tight-lipped about because I want it to be a surprise for people. So I think what I also would like people to know is we are completely committed and enamored and respectful of Oriental dance and belly dance, and it's so integrated into our day-to-day life. But we also really appreciate the opportunities to explore all of the facets of dance. So it's really not a belly dance concert per se. You will have a treat and you'll have some belly dance for the evening and the afternoon, but it's many, many different types of dance all coming together on the same stage. So you can label it whatever you want to, as long as you have a good time.
So you're calling it puja.
Yeah, I'm calling it puja because the intention is the same regardless of what the flavor is.
Oh, thank you so much. And as we clean up and get ready to hand the airboard on over to Ray Cruz, Willow, why don't you choose one last song for us to go out on?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm thinking we should probably do something a little... Well, I was going to go for peppy, but I have to be true with something slow. I think our local people will get a kick out of this because it incorporates music that I certainly heard a lot of growing up, which is the music of Bob Marley, but it is interpreted in a very different way. So if you do go and see the Pan Pacific people, this will make a lot of sense.
Okay, well, with that thought in mind, thank you again.
Thank you.
Willow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anasma. And remember, if you want to learn more about today's guests, visit willowchang.com. Not only can you get more details about the Puja Festival there, but that's also where you can see what Willow's up to when she's not madly dashing around town producing dance festivals. And for Anasma, you can go to anasmadance.com. And if you're just like me, give hip-hop belly dance a Google, because I don't think my imagination is doing it justice. So we're going to finish off with one last song, chosen for us by Willow.
Nenes, no woman no cry.
But before I really let you go, I want to say congratulations to the class of 2009, especially to Matt and Pablo. So proud of you guys. I'll be braving commencement ceremonies again right after I clean up the studio. And if you would like to listen back to today's interview with Willow Chang and Anasma, visit hawaiipublicradio.org/play for the link to the podcast, or write to me at play@hawaiipublicradio.org. Have a great, safe, and happy week. Until next time, 再见.